This podcast is sponsored by Ramp. Are you the decision maker in your company? Consider this. For the first time in decades, there's a better option for a corporate card and spend management platform. Meet Ramp, the only corporate card and spend management system designed to help you spend less money so you can make more. With Ramp, you get full visibility into your company's spending and control who spends what with each vendor. Ramp software collects and verifies receipts instantly to save your team valuable time. Ramp automates data entry and routine tasks with automated approvals, expense categorization and bill payments, time-consuming tasks, which means you'll stop wasteful spending and close your books in hours instead of days. Businesses that use Ramp add up to 5% to their bottom line the first year. If you're a decision maker, adding Ramp could be one of the best decisions you've ever made. Get $250 when you join Ramp for free. Just go to ramp.com/easy. ramp.com/easy. ramp.com/easy.
Cards issued by Sutton Bank and Celtic Bank, members of FDIC. Terms and conditions apply.
It's been 2.5 minutes and Bud Elliott has not responded to my text. Is he alive? Somebody tell me if you're watching Bud live.
Maybe he's in some sort of cryostasis.
If actually Bud going directly into a cryo tube for healing immediately after a game, just so he could start like using his thumbs again the next morning. Yeah. I buy that completely.
I like the idea of Bud doing that if he lost and had a bad weekend gambling. Like if he was like, he's like, oh man, the vig is just, it's not worth it. I gotta go into cryo sleep.
I think my computer's dying. I might not make it.
Oh shit!
Is it?
I'll be back if I'm back.
All right. Well, okay. Let's start driving, and you can be at my house in like 45 minutes.
Yeah. Let me tell you what. I'm going to go ahead and say this. There's a commenter on LinkedIn. Shouts out to our LinkedIn listeners. Helen Jane DeMarsh says,
"The bravest people in the world."
She says, "I have been selling cheese all day and have no idea what happened." Helen, you and Alex Grinch, same person. Same person. Alex has just been out there selling cheese.
Hang on, before we get to there, I promised that I would do Lincoln Riley's skincare routine at the top of the show.
Mm-hmm.
All right, wait. Hold on. Make Spencer yell welcome first.
Forecast After Dark for men.
Welcome to the Forecast After Dark.
I was trying not to wake up the dogs, and then that actually did wake up the dogs. That's right there.
I like that you're turning into a gremlin right now. Loose a gremlin.
Man, you got a Muppet Babies defense, you get a Muppet Babies theme. That's some Muppet Babies ass defense that USC's playing.
Holly, please regale us with Lincoln Riley's skincare routine.
I just had a recommendation because he's not aging well. The sun and the wind and the dry heat and the dry cold all take different kinds of tolls on one's complexion and hair. But I have an extremely quick turnaround question for him for how to lose 205 unsightly pounds of bone and gristle. Mm-hmm. And that would be firing Alex Grinch.
Yeah. Listen, you know, I understand where you're coming from, but you know what Alex Grinch didn't do today? Lose the Bedlam game.
I would like you to know that I've been trying to fact check this joke for the past 5 minutes, by which I mean I texted Bud Elliott and said, how much do you think Alex Grinch weighs? But he is doing his own show right now, selfishly.
What a hater.
I know. But listen, if you don't know this about Bud, this is one of my favorite things about Bud. He is fucking terrifying at guessing weights, like a carnival person. Like, he can weight and age. He can do it like a fucking carnival barker. It's absolutely terrifying. So if you ever need to know the dimensions or age of a given person that you can't find, just call Bud. He knows. I promise he knows.
What does Kingpin in the Marvel comic book universe weigh?
That depends on the artist. Like, is it perfectly squared off, Kingpin? Because that's actually fairly easy to calculate.
All right. Well, never mind then.
This is why Bud and I are friends.
She's selling Helen. What game do you want to know about?
She's selling Helen.
Respond in the comments, and that I'm fine with. I also know very little. I mean, just broadly, but from today, I know about some games, but not all games.
Well, let me tell you about a little game we call Bedlam, because I think that's a good place to start. Because
I hate doing this one without Jason here.
I know. He's gonna come back though.
We're gonna have to return to it on Tuesday or something, because it feels very wrong to say goodbye to this particular game given what happened.
Please send blood to Jason until he is strong enough to return to the full cast after.
Pour blood into his computer. No, y'all, his computer just died. It's fine.
It's fine. You pour blood on the computer, and then the computer works again.
Blood for the blood blog. Yeah.
Yeah, he has the Warhammer Korn computer.
That's what USB port stands for. Your slimy blood. Your
slimy. Y'all, I don't think Miami's gonna pull this together.
No, don't think that's happening either. Don't think that's happening.
All right, I'll be Jason.
Yeah, so let me tell you about a little game we like to call Bedlam.
Spencer can just talk.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. You want to literally be Jason?
No, we're good.
All right. This is a game where Oklahoma always wins. Anything can happen, of course, but Oklahoma always wins. Oh, we might have Jason back here. Let's see if his computer is not dead. We've added him back. But this is a game
where... Don't give up, blood friends. Keep sending blood through the internet.
Yes. Keep downloading.
Clap your hands if you believe in Jason.
Download the Computer Blood app. The Computer Blood app.
I just realized I'm basically describing Peter Thiel's belief system. So.
This blood will keep me young.
This blood in the computer will save my life.
Is this person... Hang on, I'm putting this up. Is this a diss? Sean, I don't understand. Is that supposed to be a threat?
Yeah, I don't know what that is, Sean. But, you know, that's fine. It's important to remember that tweets are legally binding. And definitely have a lifespan longer than 3 seconds.
Someone's trying to sass us.
Yeah, listen. You know who you should sass? The University of Sassy Chaps, USC. I don't know. I was going somewhere
Look,
with that.
And Jason dropped off again because you didn't put enough blood in your computer, friend.
It didn't. You should have had some.
You don't need all of it.
Oh, shit. Colorado's playing, sort of. Hang on.
Oh, yeah. Look at that from...
Let me change the channel.
All right. So, Oklahoma always wins Bedlam. Except
when they don't. Like today.
Okay.
Which today was the last one.
That's the phrase. Yeah.
Yes. Which today was the last one. And that's what makes this so funny, that Oklahoma came into the rivalry that it owned so completely that it was a running gag that they could not lose it. And yes, a meek shall inherit the earth moment in the classic plot twist of all plot twists. Who gets to leave the building with the fucking belt? That's right.
Meek Mike Gundy.
That's right. Mike Gundy, who said today, I like to go home and drink Diet Coke until I pass out and watch film. And somebody asked him what his favorite kind of Diet Coke was, and he said whiskey.
I love that. That's like asking a five-year-old.
Yeah.
That's like, what do you want to be when you grow up? And they're like, I'm a vegetable.
Mike Gundy's food pyramid is somehow a figure eight.
It's a figure eight.
That's actually the healthiest opinion I've ever heard Mike Gundy express in public.
Yeah. Mike Gundy and the worst part is that Mike Gundy and I, like, everyone probably has one opinion they share with Mike Gundy, you know, like,
sure.
Mike Gundy probably is like, you know, dentistry is kind of a scam. And I'd be like, you know what?
Now, don't put him in your corner.
We don't have corners. The world's circular.
Spencer, the corner where dentistry is a scam is empty except for you, buddy.
I like this idea that Mike Gundy is not a flat earther. He's a anti-right angles earther. Like,
oh, yes. Bud. Okay, Bud says 185. Okay, I'm going to reverse downward. Okay. See, my original guess is 190, so I feel better.
According to Mike Gundy, because the Earth is a globe, everything on it is also round, and squares are the lie that we have been given.
That took 11 minutes and 30 seconds, but Bud does indeed have his own show to do, so I will not hear a word against him.
That was pretty good. From Shahan Jayaraja, by the way, Colorado's played 5 drives since demoting offensive coordinator Sean Lewis for Pat Shurmur. The Buffaloes have averaged 2.04 yards per play, which is fine. You just get them on fifth down.
What exactly happened in Bedlam, Spencer Hall?
What happened in Bedlam is this, that Oklahoma could not put this thing away. Oklahoma had chances, multiple chances to put this sucker away, and they just missed on all of them. Dylan Gabriel took a walloping in this game. Like, he got clobbered. He nevertheless had 344 yards passing. He was limited on the ground, mostly because he kept getting driven into it by the Oklahoma State defense. And Ollie Gordon kept it solid. I thought that was a given how productive he's been out of the backfield. If you don't know Ollie Gordon, the second, he is the running back who's come on and really given Oklahoma State an offensive identity. But 48-year-old Alan Bowman, okay? Alan Bowman, who's in like his 27th year of college, passed for 334 yards and was unreal today. So that's how they did it. The Oklahoma State defense clamped down and kept Oklahoma from finishing it off when they had a couple of different shots to like really ice this game. They refused to let that happen. So just an ecstatic moment for Oklahoma State. If you've never been to Stillwater, it's cool as hell. It's a great trip. I encourage you to go. They have the best gear for a reason, because Stillwater is quietly pretty damn stylish.
Hi, can everyone hear me?
Oh my gosh.
I too am on my phone. I am joining Ryan as a telephone user. So the technology advantage has drawn to a standstill.
Let's see if I give you. Can I give you an avatar? Let's find out.
All I saw so far was someone said, "I'm really regretting my tweet this morning." I don't know what that means. I have no memory of anything.
Neither do we. Also, Grady, you said the dentist is the only medical professional that will upsell you. That is not at all true.
No, if a cardiologist was like, "Buddy, we can give you like 70 additional horsepower on that thing," I'd be like, "Hell yeah, let's gas it up, let's go."
Who wants a bonus aorta?
Yeah.
About Bedlam, this was easily one of the funniest results in college football history.
I agree.
Considering the history of that rivalry and everything that it has pointed toward the entire time, for Oklahoma State to laugh last.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it subverts everything. Oklahoma leaving, Roger posting video of you playing, "We are never getting back together," as their fans stormed the field.
Yeah, no, it was classic. There's a number of really funny things that happened today. This is the funniest on like on a historical identity politics way. Like, it's the funniest. It's the best that Oklahoma State managed to go ahead and poop in the house and shut the door before Oklahoma could get out of it. Like, it's absolutely amazing.
I was going to say, like, when I saw the score, for whatever reason, Goodbye Earl started, like, playing in my head.
Why don't you lay down and sleep?
Ain't it dark?
This is
they tasted okay to me.
Just Brett Venables horking them down like, "Oh no,
we need me."
I also wanted to say it was great that in the middle of the giant sucking hole that was Iowa Northwestern, there was literally a giant sucking hole on the field.
I need to know about this. I need to know. We have multiple questions saying, "Y'all talk about the big hole yet? What happened?"
There's just a big giant hole in the middle of the turf.
The ref had to stand around and have a stomping party to stomp the grass back into place.
Okay.
And in the process of doing that, they looked exactly the same as a Big Ten West offense, moving their feet and not going anywhere.
Love it.
This was, by the way, they got to halftime scoreless. The over-under for the second half was 14.
And we barely cracked it.
Barely cracked it, but we did it, baby.
The specter of overtime in this one was horrible because, like, it could have gone to 60 overtime. And then, you know, what a bad beat that would be when they finally cracked 30 points in the 85th frame.
I just saw, like, Tony Petitti standing there with the officiating, like, the head of officiating in the booth with a pistol to his head going, end it. End it.
Now, please remind me, what do the Big Ten West standings look like tonight, Spencer, Holly, and Jason?
Absolute logjam, right?
Well, I have an update for you.
Well, there is kind of a logjam, but there's a team atop it.
You know what? Floating at the top of the Big Ten West with a 7-2 record overall and a 4-2 record in conference with 81 points for and 86 points against. Stand the proud Iowa Hawkeyes!
Biggest turd in this toilet, motherfuckers!
The logjam offense, as it were.
You know, eventually, you're no longer an obstruction, you're a dam. And when you're a dam, you're a civic necessity, a monument to engineering brilliance.
More
that's
like
what the Iowa Hawkeyes are.
All team.
Yeah.
I like that coming into the season, it was like 325. That, what a hilarious meme number. Of course they'll get that. And now it's like, they're going to win their division and they're not going to get to 225.
It is worth stopping to appreciate how hard it is to win this many ball games. Like, if you saw somebody driving half a car down the highway, pick which half, left or right, front or back, and they successfully made it 50 miles, even though it was a terrible idea, you would have to stop and just, like, marvel at. And that's what Iowa football is. It's half a car successfully going to work and back.
There was a stat, I think it was non-Mormon who asked about the number of times a team has won while scoring 10 or fewer points, and Kirk Ferentz by only Tommy Tuberville in this millennium in that regard. And that is quite a class to be in as far as obstructive things go.
Just an extraordinary day in a lot of different respects. To go to the exact opposite stat of what you were talking about, 166 points overall is the total that has been scored by the Iowa Hawkeyes, allowed by the USC Trojans on defense. 345 points.
Good night.
345 points, including tonight's result, which there are, if you did not see this and you said, oh man, this is just going to look like, you know, like two teams playing without any defense, I would be like, you know what? That's a simpleton's read of the situation. And tonight, a simpleton is absolutely correct. That is exactly what happened in this game. 52-42.
And looking at the highlights, it's not even like, oh, this defense was gashed by, like, well-designed, thoughtful plays. Just like, nope, just fucking, here's Caleb Williams running around for 15 seconds and hucking the ball. And oh, it's a touchdown.
There was some design there, like there were at least a couple really, like two of the honestly strangest plays I've ever seen were mixed in here. The one, the USC flea flicker, that is
yes.
Still kind of confused me very greatly. I've watched it about 20 times and I have no, like, it starts as it's like, you know, run to the left, but then it's a cutback and then a pitch to the quarterback. And it all looks completely ad-libbed, like, the pitch and Williams accepting it, but there's a guy running downfield wide open for the touchdown. That it one of the least explicable plays of everything.
You know that thing, teams don't do it that often anymore. You know where you'd see like the quarterback would start to walk off the field and like look to the sideline as if like, hey, what are we doing? But that was all a ruse, and then they'd snap it to like the halfback. And that was the whole thing. that's what a lot of the USC offense feels like, is like, and maybe just because they're going against Alex Grinch's defense all week, that it's like, well, why not have fun?
Yeah, like they have a lot of plays where you go, you need to protect for 11 seconds to let this happen. It worked in practice.
And that's kind of the epitome of that, right? Like, yeah, we really stick our time and let this marinate.
Good luck, Chicago Bears. I mean, it'll work.
That is not the stat that absolutely boggled me. It is not, okay? The stat that absolutely boggled me was this. It was a relatively pedestrian night for Michael Penix Jr. yardage-wise. And in terms of production, usually he's throwing for like 6 TDs and 400 yards. Eh, it was like 256 and 2 TDs. He also threw a pick. That's not the thing. Washington was averaging around 104 yards rushing coming into this game. Not a serviceable rushing team, but not anything. I wouldn't even call them a rushing team. They're a passing team that had like a competent rush element. Tonight against USC, they ran 42 times for 316 yards. They averaged 7.5 a carry, and they ran for 5 TDs.
They had a really cool play as well, where they lined up in the wildcat and then shifted into a normal football play, and Michael Penix threw a touchdown.
Yeah. Kirk Herbstreit on the broadcast said that Dylan Johnson ran for 199 yards before contact. That means you or I could probably run for 50. Like 50.
Yeah, I think we could get all total a first down. I think we could do that.
Yeah, which is disgraceful. Absolutely disgraceful.
I just, coming into this day, I had looked up where Lincoln Riley's defenses had finished during his time as a head coach. Mm-hmm. I don't have information with me because I'm walking around the street because my computer almost blew up or whatever. But his defenses have been very bad for like 7 years. There was a 100-ish finish in yards per play at Oklahoma. There was like a 76 or what. So, I don't know. This man is just a less beautiful Cliff Berry. That's it. I don't think he'll ever have a good defense. I don't think it matters. Let the Grinch go. The Grinch is good. The Grinch was good at Washington State. He'll have a good defense against somewhere else.
Not here.
It doesn't matter.
No, Fowler referred to it on the broadcast as a bend then break defense.
Sometimes it doesn't even bend.
That's the guy calling the game. That's the objective professional describing things accurately.
It's like a karate demonstration. Like, oh man, those boards fucking exploded.
It's what they're here to do. But feel proud that you did it anyway.
There are two games that I would like to ask about. I saw neither of them, but I feel we would be remiss in not bringing them up. One, go Hoosier.
Go Hoosier.
And then the second, which you could take these in either order, because again, I am in the car. What the fuck happened in Army Air Force?
Yeah, I can hit that one if you like. Spencer, do you on Hoosier beat?
I will go on Hoosier beat. Hit Army first.
Okay, so the short of it is Air Force lost 5 of their 7 fumbles and Army lost none.
Okay.
And that's pretty much like, like option teams are so, like, you watch an option team all year long and there's this tension of like, oh my God, I can't believe they're catching all these pitches. And then one day they don't.
Yeah. I will tell you what happened in Indiana, Wisconsin, and it's that Wisconsin had 2 turnovers. Indiana had none. If I can give you an extraordinary number, Indiana had 20 first downs, but they only had 261 yards of offense, which I'm still trying to do the math on that. And I encourage you to do that as well. It feels like some sort of unproven theorem that a dead mathematician leaves to his intellectual heirs to figure out how you get 20 first downs off of just 261 yards of offense. Thrift. That's how the Hoosiers beat Wisconsin. Profligate spending by the Badgers undid them, and Midwestern thrift and economy really saved Tom.
Oh, Miller, yeah. Those are some Dollar General first down. Like, why would I get 15 yards for a first down when I only need 10? That's just silly.
You know what it was?
Football. Just get the first down and then there's no reason to keep to make it harder after they that.
It was BOGO first downs. That's what it was.
The best stat in the Big Ten West today, I think, was Northwestern's 9.5 minute 88-yard drive that produced 0 points.
Is it better than Mississippi State's 12-minute, 20-play, 80-plus yard drive for 3 points? 12. You burned a quarter, brother, to get 3 points. Jason, what was the final score in that game?
Which one?
Kentucky, Mississippi State.
I'm not sure. I'm walking around outside right now.
Okay, I can tell you what the let me tell you what the final score was in that game. It was 24-3.
Ugh.
That's what it took for you to get the only points you got in that game was a 12-minute odyssey where you crossed the seven kingdoms of the plain, where you went to Mordor and back, where you got together with 10 of your best friends and said, "We're going on an odyssey, boys. Pack the jerky and the hard bread and get you a knapsack."
On a fight weekend, the Venetian has a whole field goal in its vaults, and we're going to go get it, motherfuckers.
That's what you did. You journeyed that far for 3 points, and you quested for it, and you earned it, and then you said, "Now we rest."
I think we've made our point.
That was literally what they did. Jackie Sherrill was there, and I know he was like, "Yeah, son of a bitch, that's real offense right there."
Football. Like, I know it's an obvious point to take away from today, but USC Washington and Northwestern Iowa, the same sport. We all knew it was going to be like this, and then both games were even more themselves than they were expected to be. I think this was the best Saturday of the year so far. Like, each time though gave me that "holy shit, there's too much happening now" feeling, you know. And I don't know if I felt that at any point all season, but I felt it all day today. Half the game, I feel like, to entirely catch up on.
Yeah, it was very hard watching USC and Washington at the same time as Bama LSU. That changed, of course, when Jaden Daniels was hit under the chin, helmet to helmet, and driven into the turf by Dallas Turner, which counted as roughing but not targeting for reasons that I don't even need explained. I know people are like, "How is that not targeting?" And I'm like, "Well, because he fucked up. That's why."
Because targeting is about what's in your heart.
I love Dallas Turner. I don't think he's a dirty player. That hit sucked. That hit was just, that was, everything about it was real bad. And Jaden Daniels was sent back out and then withdrawn and taken back to the injury tent, which was kind of weird. Before that, he was on pace for a monster game. Like, as good a game as I've ever seen a quarterback play against the Saban era defense. Like, but just because he was... He's the only real load-bearing skill player there. It's like him, and then he's got to get the ball to Malik Nabers. That's it. The offensive line's pretty good.
Or run it himself, yeah.
Or run it himself. So that's dumb.
It almost looked like, you know, and I don't claim to be a medical professional, but it almost looked like LSU forgot what that was. They're just like, "Oh, his jaw works. Send it back out there." And then someone's like, wait. "It's the 2020s. And they're like, "Oh, okay. Bring it back.
Yeah, that was ass. Jalen Milroe, though, man. Jalen Milroe had like 400 yards offense by himself. He was a monster tonight. Jalen Milroe, we'll have to have this confab with the Bama Council of Elders, but in the pantheon of beloved quarterbacks, I feel like Jalen Milroe is rising with a bullet. He might be above Jake Coker status at this point, rising towards maybe not Blake Sims territory, but passing A.J. McCarron for sure.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, the first half of the season, there was definitely that he was carrying that offense, right?
Yeah.
Especially once we saw them play without him. At this point, he's just a good quarterback. Like, there were so many moments tonight where it was like, I think four Heisman finalists are playing now, and also JJ McCarthy, call it five. But yeah, like, completely legit. Looks like he should have been the guy all along, which, you know, they might.
He also missed the most wide open touchdown pass you could have seen this weekend, and missed it so badly that, like, not usually you see that miss and it's like, the receiver could just get a finger on it. The receiver jumped and the ball basically wasn't even in frame with him, and there was nobody near him for 15 yards. And it wasn't a deep pass. It was just a, like, 14-yard pass up the sideline.
Yeah, you know what that was? Heat check. That was a heat check. He doesn't want your handouts, Ryan. He doesn't want the game to give him freebies. No. LinkedIn user is asking, is Ryan in a well? No, Ryan is in the field. He's working hard.
I went tailgating with the LSU boys today. Bo Hicks Brewery. I had a lovely time. I think really what we are not saying about the LSU game is the reason LSU didn't win is because Ole Miss did. And I think they just can't bear to see Ole Miss possibly get an SEC West title. And so they weren't going to contribute to that by beating Alabama.
I think that's fair and smart.
Again, this goes with the only positive stereotypical role that we have Brian Kelly in, which is as the sniveling, craven wrestling manager. That's really the only positive role we could put Brian Kelly in is, you know, well, my client here, he doesn't want to see the evil, dastardly Ole Miss get to the West. So, yeah, we threw the match.
Yeah. So, yeah, we hit someone with a chair. Did it help us? No.
No. Did it ruin the bastard Ric Flair's day? Yes. And that's why we did it.
Holly, did you get to watch the matchup of disappointing adult boys that was better known as Texas A&M Ole Miss?
Yes. And can I tell you, I don't want this to sound romantic. This is more like a I would give you a kidney if you needed one. I have new feelings about Jackson Dart at this time.
Okay. Please go on.
This has nothing to do with the game. This has everything to do with what happened after the game when he was asked how he dealt with Texas A&M's trash talk during the week, which apparently was voluminous. And he said something to the effect of, yeah, I really thought they would be getting enough attention for the games they were losing. I will buy a jersey for, like, I want to contribute directly to his NIL experience and only to his NIL experience. I just want to cut him a check.
Can I create an NIL concern strictly for Jackson Dart?
Jackson Dart. I think it's cool that A&M doesn't know that they're bad.
Like, he's an Ole Miss quarterback with good hair. So I was already like, yeah, you're one of the players I like to watch out there. But now I'm like, hey man, do you need a ride somewhere? Do you like want one?
Did you pack your lunch today? I can get you something.
You like a juice box?
Yeah, I can DoorDash something for you.
Man, I just
call this NIL thing the dartboard.
It can be the dartboard.
If anybody knows how I can get a crisp $100 bill to Jackson Dart, I just want to give him one. No strings attached. He'll buy something real stupid with it because my God, that's the most beautiful quote of the year.
I get one of the crisp ones from the bank, and I'd put it in a little special envelope for him and send it to him.
Yeah. Anyway, the game was pretty stupid too, but in a fun way. But nothing. Oh God, I saw stars when I saw that quote.
Holly, there's another great Jackson Dart related quote from the game. Lane Kiffin said that on the last scoring drive, when they put the game winner in, Jackson Dart came back to the sidelines and said, "We scored too fast." And Lane Kiffin's response was, "Can you be positive, please?"
Wait, you have to say, like, try to hear that in Lane's voice.
Can you be positive, please?
I can't. I'm not sure I can form it.
That's like if Lane Kiffin's Twitter persona was actually Lane.
Yeah. Should be positive, please.
Maybe positive, please.
At halftime, Colorado has 5 first downs. By the way, 5.
Good. So the shuffle paid dividends.
Yeah, let's keep educating Sean Lewis and how this is all supposed to go.
Yeah, Pat Shermer's like, that's the NFL edge I bring.
Okay, we saw this morning, and this is really mean, but it's true. I didn't know Pat Shermer was alive.
That's so bad.
Like, not coaching. Like, no, but that's how far removed I thought he was from the game. I thought that he had, I really truly thought that he had passed on.
That's so bad if you
not
only
are like... That's the secret of a web he is.
Like, I'm not saying this is a joke. I'm saying this because I feel really bad about this, but I thought he died.
In the NFL, there is no margin for error. One mistake can change the outcome of a game. Science proves quality sleep can help boost reaction time, recovery time, and overall athletic performance. As the official sleep wellness partner of the NFL, Sleep Number's mission is to provide players with data and insights to optimize their sleep for the ultimate competitive edge. Sleep is essential for recovery, and we all have unique needs. That's why Sleep Number smart beds are perfect for couples, with individualized settings for each side. Since 2018, Sleep Number and the NFL have teamed up to bring quality sleep to elite athletes. 8 out of 10 NFL players, including 80% of Kansas City Chiefs players, trust Sleep Number for their best rest. And now, during Sleep Number's biggest sale of the year, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed. Plus, special financing for a limited time. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com. Sleep Number, official sleep and wellness partner of the NFL. See store for details.
When you don't even know if it's like, oh, he's still in the league. You're like, no, we mean the Life League. Yeah. We mean above ground.
Wait, he's 58? Pat Shurmur is 5 years older than Matt Damon?
Yeah. And about as good at calling plays.
Ooh.
Yeah. I want to go back, travel way back in time to noon and discuss Texas-Kansas State. This is where I'm going to have a Stephen Godfrey moment here, where I'm going to call out people in this industry. Because... people in this industry,
Michigan hypocrisy.
wait, can I be Richard?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Because when the rubber meets the road, I think you guys need to know that a skinned cat gathers no moss.
That's good. So K-State. Roared back into this game. They were stank ass and down 27-7, and then roared back into this game to tie it 30-30 and go into overtime. Okay. Now, when they got to overtime, at the end of the first overtime, what did they decide to do? Needing a field goal instead, Chris Klieman decided to go for it. They were first and goal at the Texas 6, and they go run for 2 yards, incomplete pass. And then on third and goal, they go incomplete pass.
This is another instance today of openly guffawing announcers.
Yeah. They decided to win it. And I don't know. You can question the play calling. That's fine. I personally, on the road especially, nobody wants more overtime. And Will Howard was playing his ass off, put it in his hands to win the game. Play call didn't work. It was definitely one of those things where you go, well, that was a dumb play call. And I'm like, well, if it had worked, it wouldn't have been a dumb play call. But like,
Can I push back on this slightly?
Please.
I understand the logic of when you are the underdog and you're on the road, extending the game does not mathematically work to your advantage. But when you are Kansas State, and it is Texas, a team that historically you have given so many fucking fits to. I think part of you has to realize Texas doesn't want this game to keep going, even though they are on paper better. And there is a like emotional devastation making this take as long as fucking possible. Like Texas should be at home and have the talent advantage and they should be confident. But Texas is going to be like, are you kidding me? We have to go into double overtime with these fuckers? And I think that was ignored.
Yeah, somebody, by the way, somebody also said, I believe it was Possible Cabbage in the comment section. I just wanted to say that name out loud. Said that they had the ball on the 4 and they gained 0 yards on 4 plays. Have you seen the middle of Texas's defensive line? Texas's defensive line is easily 700 pounds of man just at the tackles alone. Sweat was a monster today, an absolute beast. And yeah, they could have, like, Kansas State had a lot of other things that got them to this point. They had some serious kicking foibles, but overall They didn't gain yardage on that because Texas's defensive line was better. That's why those guys are as rare as hen's teeth. They're fucking huge.
Now who's Richard?
Rare as hen's teeth. I did it. Richard and I both use some quality old man analogies. Thank you, Godfrey. Thank you.
No, he has picked it up so much this season, and I can only assume it's on purpose, but it's like, he's starting to outpace you in like the old timey.
I gotta pick it up.
Old timey phrasing this bit, and it's such a joy to watch.
So yeah. When I see that happen, I know that people in that, because you want the underdog to win, and mentally you're sitting there going, "Well, there's a perfect play
in
to be
this
called."
Industry.
Right in this industry. There's a perfect play to be called because you're paid to call perfect plays, and my answer is. Big monster! Big monster on defensive line! Yeah.
This only works because if Godfrey ever listens to this show, we're in trouble.
Yeah.
Why? What's he going to do? Be tall at us?
No, that's fair.
Yeah. They're not listening to
make
this.
Make us watch Falcons game?
Oh, that's mean.
Listen, man. He's like, there's no hope there because he took his kid to a Falcons game and his kid got hit in the face with a ball. The franchise is telling you to leave.
The rescue of said child.
Oh, that's true. That's true. But you know what you should have said? Thank you, Cordarrelle Patterson. That was very sweet. I'm leaving and never watching a game again. I have gotten the message.
Also, he didn't do either of the things that I would have done, which is either whip out a phone and start filming everything inside and just see what the Titans staff does, or instruct the child to fall on the ground and flop like a chicken. They could have owned that place.
See, my kids just do that unprompted. You can't teach it. That's just talent.
I normally don't want to talk about this game, and I don't think we necessarily need to, but the fact that Florida wore the stupidest fucking uniforms possible for a noon game that they lost in overtime to Arkansas at home, like...
I'm only putting this comment up here because it's really funny and incorrect.
What does it say? I can't...
Doesn't Godfrey willingly podcast with Danny Cannell?
Oh, I thought that was Daffy Cannell. Okay.
Huh. That's a fun thing to ponder. Let's speak that into the universe. Yeah. Hope that it's
you
true.
You can actually just say that he does. Yeah, that's him.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's right.
Say that you really enjoyed their show and tag both of them.
Daffy Caspel.
Do not tag me. Tag both of them.
Are we going to Mandela affect this? Like, you know that podcast he does with Danny Cannell, right? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's very pro-apartheid.
Yeah, somebody asked how Florida did. Ass. They're fucking ass. They're just absolute trash ass. Shit. Just absolute fucking garbage. That's how they did.
I wish I would quit devaluing our schedule.
We decline. We will continue to devalue your schedule.
That's fucking rude.
We devalued your schedule by beating you. That was the problem.
No, yes, that.
Listen, there was no world where losing to 2023 Florida was going to be a good loss.
Nope.
Petition via Big Ten guy to refer to Danny Cannell from here on out as Danky Kang.
Danky.
So ordered. Yes. Motion passes without a vote.
Donkey Kong L. Is that a thing?
Let's be real. He's more of a Dixie Kong.
Okay, I'm gonna say, is he Diddy Kongo? I don't know. Frankie Kongo.
He doesn't have the gravitas for Frankie Kong.
I played the unlicensed Australian version of Donkey Kong. Danky Kang. It's wildly inappropriate for children, but I love it.
Just every time he says something from now until forever, okay, Danky Kang.
Yeah, Florida was absolutely terrible. Had an absolutely terrible loss tonight. There was another Sunshine State team. Who hasn't had success in a very long time and is struggling badly to regain lost glories as well. That would be Miami. Again, Mario Cristobal, tactical genius, avoiding the conflict and pressure of a late game management situation by simply losing late in the game and avoiding it altogether. Tyler Van Dyke is broken right now. He had 3 picks, no TDs. He was struggling all night. I think he's playing hurt, so I would be a little more gentle on him than you might be otherwise, because I don't know why he's still in there. That's a management issue. That's not a Tyler Van Dyke issue.
Georgia Tech won, which throws off our win-loss pattern, I believe, right?
This may be because we may have accidentally powered Georgia Tech up by dining at a Georgia Tech restaurant with Kirshner on Thursday night.
Oh, you've altered the timeline.
We have.
That's all right.
We also got the most amazing piece of Georgia Tech adjacent gossip I've ever heard that we can't report.
Sorry.
If we get permission for it, I'll tell the whole story.
Missouri and Georgia played a football game.
They did, and it was a little more interesting than I thought it had any right to be. Is that a good way of describing this game?
Sure.
Yes, for probably 80%.
Yeah, you know, and I thought, like, that's a pretty good result for Missouri, that they got an 80% of an interesting game. I am going to say kind things about the Georgia Bulldogs that have nothing to do with their overall national prestige. And instead, I want to focus on the singular greatness of Nazir Stackhouse's interception return. Nazir Stackhouse is not a small man. He does not play on offense either. Nazir Stackhouse is a defensive lineman. He is Stone Mountain Georgia's finest, 6'3", 320 pounds. And Brady Cook, in a moment of absolute insanity, decided that he was going to throw the ball over Nazir Stackhouse. He could not do that because Nazir Stackhouse is very tall and athletic. Stackhouse caught the ball, and when he caught it, he started to run with it. And when asked about it post-game, said this: "You got to give me some type of credit. My chest started to stick out. My stomach started to stick out. It's hard to pick up your knees when you got all that meat right there." This is the most Georgia shit ever. I love you, dude. This would have been a Peisman play in a Peisman-eligible year. Nazir Stackhouse, the grandeur and the beauty of football in one single image and person. Shouts out to you. That was awesome.
What a king.
Got all that meat right there.
Sam Houston State finally won a game. And I'm sorry that Jason's not here to talk about it from the learned Kennesaw State perspective. But honestly, just thank God. The losses that that team has had to endure trying to just get one win in their first FBS season.
Oh, God.
While they have to watch Jacksonville State, who gave South Carolina a hell of a game today, have a really good season, while they have to watch JMU continue to go undefeated in year two. Like, it's hard to be Sam Houston this year. I am truly glad the Bearcats could, like, get this particular box checked.
Yeah, I also want to congratulate Rutgers today. I know you lost, and you lost to a much better team. Should have lost that game. You made it real interesting.
Real fun shit happened along the way.
Yeah. Like, superb game plan. And now, on top of that, by the way, we saw the fumble Ruski in the wild, executed flawlessly. All right. A beautiful fumble Ruski executed by Rutgers special teams in this. 35-16 was the final. The game was, I believe, much closer than that for most of the game. Shouts out to Rutgers. Not only are you already bowl eligible, you managed to put three quarters. This is, again, kind of a Missouri result. You got 80% of a good football game, and that's way more than could be expected against Ohio State.
I'd say this one was more 60%. Yeah. Oh,
60%.
That's fine. Yeah.
That's a harsh audit, sir.
Listen, with the curve, this will get you passing grade.
100%. This was also... I know that Ohio State fans will go back and forth about whether this was good or bad. Travion Henderson had 128 yards in this game. If he's doing well, your offense, and you still have Marvin Harrison, you're still more than functional on offense. So I would take some heart in that, especially because Rutgers is a pretty good defense. That's a pretty good defense, pretty good team.
Wait. How have we got, however far we are into this episode, out talking about the hero of the Protestant faith, Dabo Swinney?
Why, did something happen?
Listen, I am wrong almost all the time. I did say that everybody was going to get super excited for Notre Dame to go ahead and deliver the death blow to this Clemson season, and Notre Dame was going to poop their pants. And, buddy, these pants smell terrible.
Yeah, that's because Phil Moffa kicked the shit out of you. Aha, that's right. Phil Moffa is bad, dude. He is an awesome running back. He had 186 yards and 2 TDs, which is good because Cade Klubnik never really kind of got it going. He had a pretty mid day overall. Sam Hartman, unfortunately for the Irish, decided to see mid as a starting point and dive down from there. He had an extremely handsome 13 for 30 day, and a stunning, strong jawed and striking 0 TD and 2 INT total against that. So if you want to know what happened to him, he's so beautiful that the Clemson defense saw him and they were like, "We love you too. Come here. Hug us. Kiss us."
Is Sam Hartman moving from lumberjack love interest that big city woman lawyer falls for in the Christmas Hallmark Christmas movie to big city handsome financier that the lawyer lady leaves in the Christmas movie because she falls in love with somebody nicer and better?
Well, that was his role today, yeah, because that guy loses.
Dabo was fiery after this. I mean, he might buy Tyler from Spartanburg's house just to burn it down.
I'm just grateful that nobody ever told Dabo that players are getting paid now, because otherwise he might have quit before he got to experience this.
Also, Dabo said, if Clemson was a stock, you better buy all that you can find right now, which to me says that this is a pump and dump scam and Clemson is going to immediately lose their next game.
NFT, Nose Dogs for Tigers.
If there is one person I would love to hear explain how securities work, it's definitely Dabo.
Oh my God, yes.
Hey, listen, if Dabo Swinney calls me with a securities-based pitch, my next call is to the FBI. That's
No. Your next call is to Phil Mickelson to say, "Phil, I got a tip."
My next call is to Paul Johnson. I'll be like, "Hey, Paul, you got some of that gold that you've been hoarding?" And he'll be like, "You know it, brother."
If you had to make either Dabo or Phil Mickelson your financial planner, who would you pick?
Oh, Phil.
Phil, I'm here for a good time, not a long time. Because I know we're going to be up at one point. Oh, brother, we're going to be up. The key to having Phil Mickelson as your financial advisor is getting off at the top and not riding that all the way back down.
Also,
I converted your 401k to cocaine. Isn't that awesome?
For a minute, yeah. yeah, so Clemson, that's cool. You gotta listen. You have to play. We might be off on the Georgia Tech theory, by the way. We say this as, again, the predominant, most important, and foremost ACC podcast in the world. Georgia Tech was supposed to be bad because this was an odd.
Don't take that away from Danny Cannell and Stephen Godfrey.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Excuse me. His name is Janky Kang.
I'm sorry, DK and S God.
Tuesdays, 104.5.
The fart.
The fart. Live from Captain Scabby's Muscle Shack. Come by. We're here from 3 to 6. Nobody's here. Nobody's coming.
St. Pete's most raw sports show.
Yeah, maybe we'll get some of those jalapeno poppers. My cardiologist said I couldn't do it, but I crave death.
The heart is a muscle. Make it stronger.
Georgia Tech is supposed to be bad this week, Ryan, because it's odd week. Georgia Tech.
They
beat Virginia 45-17.
Beat Virginia.
Yeah.
Sorry.
No, I'm here for it.
All right, so now, again, because I'm in the car, so the ACC championship, if it were held today, would be Florida State Louisville, correct?
That is correct.
Florida State, by the way, I'm going I am aware of how long your game with Pitt was 0-0. We don't have to talk about it, but like we know. Like I'm doing that thing that where your parents know you did something, but they also know that you feel bad about it. So we're not going to have a confrontation over it. But don't think that that means we don't know. We fucking know.
Yeah, but you know what this was? This was fighting a weird guy. Pitt's the weird guy, right? You're like, you grip up with him in the octagon, and you're like, he's so oily. Oh, God, I can't.
Not this Pitt. This Pitt sucks. This Pitt is flat out bad.
Yeah, they're bad, but they're still oily weird guy. It doesn't matter. Sometimes that's off-putting.
Notre Dame destroyed oily weird guy.
Is it bad but oily or bad and oily?
Bad and oily.
I'm like,
bad, comma, oily. Bad, comma, oily.
Yeah.
Okay. So, and then.
And he's crying and he's saying weird stuff when you're like hooked up with them. It's bad. You don't, yeah, it's just right. Off-putting.
So, and I truly don't know the answer to this. What does the Big 12 race look like right now?
Let's go to the Big 12, because the Big 12, I'm pretty sure. Okay, so Texas is in the driver's seat there at 8-1, 5-1 in conference. Tied for them at 5-1 in conference are the Oklahoma State Cowboys. Perpetual title holders, by the way. Forever belt holders of the Bedlam Trophy. And I want to point out, right behind them at 4-2, and with the win over the 4-2 Oklahoma Sooners, the 21st ranked Kansas Jayhawks. That is correct. Kansas Jayhawks lurking there, fresh off of a 28-21 win over Iowa State, just a few short years after being winless and total ass. That's, we really do every week just need to say like a little moment of gratitude for, holy shit, Kansas is still good.
Yeah.
I think it was our attention that did it.
I agree. And by the way, still good on their backup QB, because Jalen Daniels did not play. Bean got the start.
We've never seen like the warmth of our love, like the sun.
Well, that's correct.
For like the fifth or sixth game, this is Bean playing, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
But yeah, 28-21. Bean was pretty good. 287 yards, one TD. Getting it done in the absence of the charismatic and extremely talented Jalen Daniels, lost to injury for a bit. Anything else that I am missing from notable games, since this was such a smorgasbord? We did earlier today recommend...
We really did not talk about A&M enough.
Oh, in case, because people will be listening to this later, Jason ran out of blood again. That's why you haven't heard him in a little while. You stopped putting blood in the computer, and he disappeared again. And it's your fault.
Yep.
Your fault. Hope you're happy.
Pour blood into the computer for
it
Jason.
It is after dark in the Pac-12, which means UCLA is currently losing to Arizona. Oregon State is currently beating Colorado. Well, that's normal. And Stanford is currently beating Washington State.
Cincinnati lost again. Saw that.
Dude, did you see Scott Satterfield's post-game statement? It was
on
the high C.
I did not.
How could that be spicy?
Well, oh, okay. Never mind.
No. I didn't see it. I'm asking.
Take it back, I guess. Jesus.
No, like, what?
Yeah, what? No, please expand. I want to know more.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Hang on. I'll fucking read it.
I saw that. I saw Baylor lost again.
Okay, here was his opening statement.
Okay.
Congrats to Central Florida for getting that win, but I think it points to a very undisciplined football team, which pisses me off. That's the first thing he said.
Ow. Cool. I wonder whose fault that is.
Whoever wants to show up in that locker room tomorrow, we're going to continue to work on that. And that's what I just told him in the locker room. It's just unacceptable. It is very funny that they keep outgaining teams by over 100 yards and losing. I agree that that is outrageous. But I think Coach Satterfield and I have different definitions of outrageous here.
How does it, every single team I've ever seen this dude put out there is the most miserable group of people I've ever seen.
Oh, sorry. The statement went on for some time. I appreciate. I'm skipping down now because there's a lot of it. But I appreciate everyone that shows up out there that have to look at that crap. It pisses me off.
Again, if only we could find the person responsible for this team. Alas, we will never know.
I could do without him throwing his players under the bus and get to the part where he starts openly ogling other jobs. That's the fun part. This isn't fun at all.
Sure. Sure. Maybe he's just going to threaten to quit. I'll go back to Louisville. That's what I'll do.
I don't know. I can ride back in like Napoleon. Welcome.
Okay, it's my fault because I skipped straight to the end of the game, but we really did not spend enough time on A&M.
Well, we can. Oh, well, that's for damn sure.
I can happily go back to that. Max Johnson, I do want to say a kind word about Max Johnson. He's
Max
real
Johnson
good.
Max Johnson got the shit beat out of him.
He Let did. Not,
I feel I don't want to say that now that I've seen. You know, he didn't have a Bama defender truck him under the chin or anything, but he got knocked around a lot.
He did, and he...
I was going to say, one thing I really appreciate about pretty much every A&M game, there's always a moment, and there's usually multiple moments, where you can look at Jimbo talking, usually to Max Johnson, another player entirely, where it's like, if you just turn the sound off, they're making all the same motions of a family fighting on vacation, having a terrible time. Like, the energy is exactly that of like, well, you said they didn't take reservations, Daryl, and so I didn't make them. And now we have nowhere to fucking eat.
I didn't want to go to the Sasquatch Museum.
And that's just the entirety of the A&M football experience under Jimbo Fisher is this family that hates being on this cruise that none of them wanted to book in the first place.
Especially with him staring over those weird little glasses. Anyway, some football also happened.
Yeah, by the way, A&M, they are 0-4 against ranked teams, and also they're on a road losing streak of 9 straight.
Good God.
Like, I have to say, as a team with a lengthy road losing streak myself, that sucks. It's bad. It's worse than Florida's. That's real bad.
Florida won at South Carolina. That's fine.
Yeah, that's season over. Got the chicken. Time to go.
Nothing happened after that. In any way,
South Carolina beating Jacksonville State today in a game that at least the sickos were calling the cockadoodle duel.
Wow.
It's pretty outstanding. It's great work. Also, no shame in that, because if you've watched South Carolina, you were like, that's a win, take it, that's a win, baby.
I watch games like that and I'm like, and to be clear, you thought the way to make your existence better was to invite Texas and Oklahoma to your mm-hmm. party. Okay. That's yep. cool.
You know what? We like this basement. We'll dig a little deeper. It's cold. It's cool down here in the summer months.
Kids at school are bullying me. I think we should invite a gorilla.
It'll live in my basement. I'll fight it every night. And that's how I will become stronger. Or waste away due to sickness and injury.
What if the gorilla kills you? Well, what? What do you mean?
Gorilla will only make strong. Gorilla will not kill me. South Carolina is basically choosing the squat every day for 3 months plan. Like, I will get infinitely stronger on an infinite growth curve if I squat 405 for reps every day. That's how I will become invincible.
Unrelated. I have to stand up to poop.
Yeah. I have anxiety attacks when I see stairs, even short flights of them. I can no longer. The wind hurts my kneecaps. That's South Carolina. More weight. The most Giles Corey ass program in the world. I kind of love them for that.
Usually South Carolina is on the other end of the crucible scenario.
Yeah. Yeah. This was One more thing on Texas A&M and Ole Miss. Yeah. If you want to watch a team that makes it easy on the quarterback to succeed, you watch Ole Miss. And if you want to watch a team that makes it as hard as possible for the quarterback to succeed, and even if they try as valiantly as Max Johnson does and did and performs as well, and the coach is still like, nah, fuck you, that's the plan. Congratulations, you're Texas A&M.
Oh, I don't remember if it was New Mexico. I think it was New Mexico, but it might have been New Mexico State. One of them put up on their video board today, you know how like during the game they'll be like, welcome to this, you know, local charitable group or this, whoever paid to have their name put up here.
Uh-huh.
Fucking New Mexico book put up, welcome Connor Stallions, parentheses, probably.
I love it.
Well, well done.
And, like, this is, I just love that we have gotten to the point in this particular stupid story where New Mexico gets to dunk on Michigan. What a rare treat that we should really savor and appreciate.
Yeah. Another rare treat, by the way, was Penn State today actually trying to throw the ball downfield. And, oh, look, they palindromed Maryland 51-15. That's November, Maryland. Definitely not.
Maryland should see if they can trick Penn State into playing this game in July.
Oh, they'll lose by, listen, Penn State will lose by 70. Maryland is like Birdman, or like Birdman, right? Like the sun powers them.
See where this is going.
Right?
Yes. Harvey Birdman.
Oh, yes. Okay. That's not where I thought you were going.
No.
Did you think he meant the
sure
the
did.
Film?
Yeah, sure did.
Gotcha. Yep.
Please, I'm not bringing Inaritu into this.
We're going to start speaking Spanish, I swear to God.
But yeah, that's congratulations to Penn State for deciding to try against Maryland and not Ohio State, right? Real bravery starts with beating Maryland by 46 points. Sorry, 36 points. Yeah, man. Yeah.
Again, didn't lose Bedlam.
One more little note. Utah still has nobody. Like, they have, it's one of those everybody is injured situations, and they beat Arizona State 55-3 today.
Yeah.
How?
Arizona State can only do so much in the first year.
We have taken a lot out of Arizona State.
Yeah.
Jacob Conover has one of the most extraordinary QB lines I've ever seen. Go with me on this journey. Hold my hand. Together we will walk into this dark and back out of it in a single sentence. Jacob Conover went 5-for-22 for 41 yards and one interception. He had a QBR of 8.8, and he averaged 1.9 yards of completion.
Oh, boy. And they threw 22 passes?
Uh-huh. Well, no, he threw 22 passes.
It's been a long time to use this metaphor. But you remember that perfectly preserved dead bird on the sidewalk?
Uh-huh.
Like, you can't see anything wrong with it at all, but it's dead.
Yeah, but what if there were 22 of them?
Colorado is still playing, yeah.
They only sacked him 4 times, which to me says that the defense simply got bored and stood back there in morbid curiosity. Like, let's see where he's going with this.
We have a weird score emerging in Colorado, Oregon State. If I gave each of you 10 guesses, you would not guess the current score of Colorado, Oregon State, where it is now Beavers 20, Buffs 5.
Oh, we got a Cinco.
Okay.
That's a rugby score.
Okay.
We have a fiver.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Shadur Sanders is up to 66 yards passing.
I'm going to laugh real hard if you made this big fancy change at play caller only to get outscored by Iowa this weekend.
I think that's where we're headed, Ryan. So go ahead.
Seems to be the case.
Go ahead and just bookmark that thought. We'll come back to it when we record on Tuesday for the midweek show.
Okay.
I think that's definitely happening here.
Do you want to do that thing where you yell Twitch names like a deranged grandpa?
Or are we done?
No, I decline.
Okay.
Instead, I will murmur them and go, "Hey, everyone. Thanks to," I will shout out everyone, including our LinkedIn commenters like Andrew Roddy coming in under his government name. Congratulations. John Crutcher, Zeke Bud, Jesus Daves, Tony Two Claws. Come on, it was worth it for the name Tony Two Claws. That's incredible.
Yeah, I have to agree there.
Yep.
Yes. And Podcat says, "Good night, Swole Nanny."
Hey, thanks.
Thank you for joining us
here. That is a thing that happened today.
Good night, Mush. With Mac Brown.
A full cast listener came up to me at the DVA tailgate and said, "Hey, you're a lot more ripped than I thought you would be."
That's, I guess I should confess at this point that that's my fault. I told people in the Channel 6 chat not to fuck with you because you were more muscular than they might have known.
Okay. That might explain it.
Oh no. Mostly, oh no, people are coming up to me in public and telling me how swole I am. No. Help me escape this hell.
I just want to emphasize something. Don't have physical forms at all.
What?
We live in the ether. Which is why
we're
if you want to feed our souls, pour blood into the computer.
Put the blood in the computer so that our bodies can regenerate.
Yes.
I'm a figment.
That's right.
All right. It's time to end the show.
Thanks, y'all. Good night.
Night, everybody.